always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
They're decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, that doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, with stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
Hey, it's Doc, and I want to welcome you to the Oddcast, and this is another happy hour Oddcast for you. So here's the deal. On Thursdays, Bob, Sherry, Lamar, they get onto Facebook. You can go to the Bob and Sherry Facebook page on Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, for their happy hour live stream. They just jump on for about an hour or so and just talk about whatever. And you can join in on the fun. You can comment, and you also have the chance to win prizes, all sorts of stuff. So here's some of the conversations from one of their most recent happy hours. It's all about old people breaking their hips. Fellas, there are no secrets about what you are doing in relationships. And Bob wants to try out a new look.
Ron, so, I hope your knee replacement goes well. Again, I hope it gets better. Hope you feel good. Hope it works out. That's good.
What did he get? What kind of
a knee replacement? He got a knee replacement. Yeah.
And he was
commenting on Carla's deal.
Yeah. That's so miraculous, isn't it? To replace your doggone knee.
And the moment you wake up, they have you up and walking.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
Let me tell you a story. My best friend, one of my best friends, Pat, he had both of his knees done. He had put up with this knee deal for a long time, and he had both of the knees done. So the next morning, they get him up. They get him out of the bed. And they said, we want you to walk. And he said, well, how much? And they said, I make about 7 laps. And he said, okay. So they left him, and so he goes outside, and he starts walking, and he walks the entire floor. He makes 7 laps on the entire floor. Wow. And so he comes back in, and he sits down, and he's dripping wet and sweat. He's just whooped, and a woman comes in, and she goes, are you that tired? He said, well, I made 7 laps around the floor. She goes, what? I meant 7 laps in the room. All I needed to do was make 7 laps inside the room. And he did the whole floor 7 times.
Wow. Oh, poor man.
Oh, yeah. He said it was miserable.
I thought they were making you walk that much to get you the hell out of the hospital, you know?
He's doing great. It's been, you know, it's been awesome. I mean, it's amazing. And the way they do it is they take the MRIs and stuff for your knees, and they program it into the computer. And when you get the knee, it is absolutely 100% fitted. There's no, it's fits. It goes right in, boom.
Nothing. That's amazing. Yeah.
I just find it so trippy that, you know, you don't pay attention to things really a lot. So many things are happening that you don't pay attention. And I can't remember the first time somebody I worked with, Bob, one of the TV engineers we worked with, missed a week of work, and he came back in and he had this big funky looking bionic man brace on his leg. And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? He goes, got a brand new knee. And I'm like, you're here? He goes, oh, I went home the next day. What? Like, you can just chop open somebody's leg, shove a knee in there, stitch it up, and send them home? Like, what?
It's truly amazing. I mean, I know we complain about our lives these days with all of the things that are negative and all, but that did not happen in my parents' era, and that's not that long ago.
Listen. In their era, see, now, they do hip replacement with no problem either. Hip replacement's nothing. When I was a kid, when somebody fell, an old person fell and broke their hip, done.
Game over.
You're dead.
Bye-bye.
You're dead. Yeah. I mean, you are dead. Nobody came back from a broken hip.
Lamar, because I was raised around so many old people, these were the kind of conversations they would have. So at a very young age, like, you know how you think, well, oh, if you have a heart attack, you could die. For some reason, I thought a human hip was part of, like, heart-brain hip, because my grandmothers and aunts were like, did you hear about Betty? She broke her hip counting the days.
They used to talk that way. You're exactly right.
Yeah, they did. You know.
What is only $4.99 a month but gives you such pleasure? That would be the Bob and Sherry Premium. Exclusive content from the show, including our classic chat room calls and best of CDs. You'll get behind the scenes photos and videos of not only us, but our listeners. It's a lot of fun. Just $4.99 a month. And the website to get all of this is bobandsherry.com/premium.
I got into my parents' car. I don't know why I remember this. And it was a Friday night. And despite whatever financial problems my father had, we would go to a place called the Rose Garden Restaurant, which was a pizza place. And he'd go into the bar area while we were sitting there with my grandmother, my mother, my brother, and me. And I got to play a song in the jukebox. My father got a shot in the beer and then would come to join us when the pizza came. And I can remember picking up my grandmother, and she would sit in the back of the car with my brother and me. And so it's like, you know, and off we go. And my mother was saying, well, how are things? They didn't get along well. How are things going, May? Oh, good. Yeah, they're going good. You know, my neighbor, Alice, she's having a hard time with her stomach problems. She can't go anywhere. She just can't be away from her bathroom too long. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm 13.
And it's hard on a 13-year-old boy. It's hard.
It was hard to be a part of the conversation. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
It was hard to be a part of the conversation, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, so, because it's just the way I'm wired. This is what's going to happen.
This is adulthood, right? Now, can you imagine my older brother, who was high as balls like throughout his entire high school career, and my great-grandmother Peg Leg, and her talking about one random affliction or another, and my brother so high that he can't feel his fork in his hand, okay? Right. And she would say to my grandmother, Rainey, I need you to rub my stump. And my brother would be off to the races. Okay. Like, it was just, and I didn't know because I'm a great big chucklehead. Mm. I didn't know that he was high because he told my grandmother he had hay fever. And my grandmother was always buying. Do you remember an allergy medicine called Contact?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh. Like, I don't think they make it anymore.
No, because it's basically speed.
Right. So listen to this. You guys are going to love this. So my grandmother, she, you know, like, she could not buy brand name things. She would save the boxes that brand name things came in and then put the generic in. Like, she was so crafty. But anyway, my brother's hay fever was so severe that she bought Contact. And she said, and I even got the name brand, not the store brand, honey, because your eyes look terrible.
Contact. I haven't thought of that in a long time. You know,
hey, that was
that was the first product out like that, I think.
You
that
felt better
over the counter.
You had more energy.
It was unbelievable. You pop one, and it was like, it's party time, and I can breathe. They took it off the market.
I don't even know like how long it's been gone.
It was a huge seller.
Big seller.
I betcha. I mean, if it had that effect on you, it's just funny. Like, I was such a watchful, observant kid. And I would just, for some reason, these things would just lock in my brain and stay. Yeah. And then later, when I got a little bit older and I realized that my brother was suffering the impact of a plant, but not because he was allergic to it.
You know what a girlfriend said to me once? She had a husband who the marriage didn't work out. And he was one of these guys that would go out, you know, with some buddies and camp, you know, in the woods for like 4 or 5 days and eat worms and no deodorant and, you know, just, and then come back and then sit around the house for a while. And the guy was a rich guy, but that he was an outdoorsman like that. When she started dating me, she said, you were the cleanest man I've ever known.
That is a top-tier compliment.
Should I take that as a compliment?
Yeah. Kevin said, Kevin tells other people, he'll be like, let me tell you about my woman. I got the cleanest woman. She takes a shower like she means it. I'm very aggressive at her. Yeah. I'm shampooing, conditioning, exfoliating. I mean, all kinds of stuff, moisturizing, all kinds of stuff going on.
I will tell you, when a breakup happens, the first thing a girl does is get on the phone and trash the man's hygiene. All your secrets are coming out. So if she said you were very clean, that's like 5 stars.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So that's what happens. Is that something that we can take as men as a general rule of feminine activity?
Oh, you've got no. Once you're dumped or whatever happens, no, you got nothing. There's no, everybody knows your business.
You know, that is kind of interesting that everybody knows your business.
Yeah.
I don't think guys do that.
No,
really? Nowhere near to the degree.
No.
I can't remember ever saying anything that was really embarrassingly prominent about someone that I dated, even if it was, I've had maybe two or three breakups that were ugly, but I just can't imagine doing that.
Well, I will tell you that there is a man who lives 6 states to the west of me. Uh-huh. I've never met him. He has no idea I exist, but I think I could pick him out of a naked man lineup. I know so much about this man.
Oh, from a girlfriend. From a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An ex. Yeah. An ex. I know things about this man. I have found myself on occasion going to, I wonder if he has like maybe a dairy allergy. That's what those bumps are. Maybe, maybe he's got Bob has a detergent sensitivity. Bob can't have bounce sheets in his underwear.
I don't have any bumps anywhere though. I want to make that clear right now. There are no bumps. Smooth. There are people that are going to be going, where are Bob's bumps? Do you have any idea where the bumps are?
You're bumpless. You're bumpless.
I am bumpless. Thank you.
Slick as a whistle all over. But yeah, this man, like, I just know everything.
Well, listen, Bob, let me tell you. Mary's book club. There's nothing they don't know about you.
I've asked her that. I've asked her that before. And
believed her.
She does not lie. No.
Okay.
He does not lie. I've said so, not so much with her book club, but like she's away with Lynette this weekend, her best friend. I said, so I guess Lynette knows where all my moles are, you know, right? She goes, no. I would never, ever do that to my husband. Never. And I believe her.
That's good.
Not that I've got a lot to hide.
That's good.
She doesn't want any other woman to be envious, you know? She doesn't want anyone to covet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what that is. That's what that is. I mean, we don't tell every little thing. And you don't tell anything to just anybody. Mm-hmm. Right, Heather? Like, you really only do the hard data dump with your bestie.
Cheryl Newton everything. Just said, Bob, I love Mary, but she lies.
She omits. She edits. Omitting, what were you going to say, Heather?
I said, Sherry knows absolutely everything about every person I've ever dated, ever. And
Yeah. I've told you this before. Heather shares her location with me. And the last thing I do every night before I turn off the lights and go to bed, where's Karamia? Where's Olivia? Where's Heather? Because I am the first line of defense. I am the canary in the Dateline coal mine. Okay.
Yes.
Like, I know Heather's habits. And let's say, like, one night I go, there's Karamia, there's Olivia. Oh, Heather's in an isolated part of the local national forest. See, I know something terrible is happening. Because Heather would never go to an isolated part of a national forest of her own free will.
I'm never hiking. So, yeah. No. Yeah,
right. We have to have each other's backs. We have to know about each other's men.
Can I just tell you something that I would like to do, but I won't do because it'll look douchey, but I would really like to do it. This is one of the few shirts that I've purchased in the last year or the last 3 years because of COVID. And I really like this shirt. I don't know if it comes across. There's like little stripes there.
Yeah, I can see it.
Kind of a rugby shirt. I would really, really like to pop the collar on this thing a little bit.
Why wouldn't you?
You know, because you're a douchebag as soon as you do that.
Well, and I don't care. I think it's cool for you.
Are you saying that I'm comfortable being a douchebag?
But there'd be no shame in that because it's all about owning it. You know, all about owning it. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of Elvis. You know, when he
there's
was at
totally people that do that.
Elvis always had things like that. But if you do this, you are a D-back. And I can't do it.
But own it. Own it. Just own it.
Own my douchiness?
You know what? If you do it and you don't swagger around like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Really?
Let's ask Heather, because she looks skeptical. I'm going to be real. Like, that's a skeptical face. Heather, is there any way for Bob to pop his collar and not look like a douchebag?
It's like the fedora. You just can't, like, you can't get away with it.
Max can.
Max can. I don't know why. Max has just got the face that he can pull that off.
Yeah. Oh, Bob, Dennis says you're not a douchebag. See, you're good enough. Oh, people like Dennis. You.
And somebody said, own the douchebag, Bob. You know, that's kind of a mixed signal there, don't you think?
Does this mean, now, wait a minute. Is Dennis okay with it because he's sort of douchey? Or, I mean, I don't know. Is he a fellow douchebag?
I don't know. Dennis is in Alaska. I don't know.
I think Dennis is just supporting you.
No. He's
supporting you.
Crystal Bianco, and listen, I feel like you should trust Crystal's taste because I know what Crystal gets up to online, and I feel like Crystal is someone who can be trusted. Crystal says, it's immediate douche vibes, and that has nothing to do with Bob. It's it's the act of popping the collar that screams douchiness, whether you're douchey or not.
All I can think about is in the early 2000s, all of the like really jerky characters with the spiked up hair and the popped collars. That's all I can think about.
All I can think about are stereotype country club guys. That's what I that's where the douchiness came from. Mm-hmm. Kathy Curtis just said, are you wearing boat shoes without socks, Bob? No, I'm not. I am not.
Suzanne Banks said, do what you want, Bob. People are going to judge you anyway.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah. And what do you care if somebody thinks you're a big old douchebag? You have a woman that you love who loves you. You have a great job with people who adore you.
You
have plenty of friends. If a bunch of random strangers go, well, there's a douchebag, what do you care? I mean, seriously, answer
nobody,
that.
I don't want to walk into the supermarket and people are saying, oh, I've seen him here. What a douchebag he is. I don't want that. I just don't want it. I want to be invisible.
Popping the collar is not the best way to be invisible.
No, it's not. That's why I brought it up. It's a statement. It is definitely a statement.
You said I don't want to walk into a grocery store.
Fonz did it.
Yeah.
He wasn't a douchebag. He was the Fonz.
Lamar, that's not as helpful as you think it is.
I think it's time to say goodnight to all of our listeners.
Erica Wolf says, what you eat don't make me fat. So go ahead. I mean.
Yeah. What do you think?
You do.
Volume 2 of the Book of Bob is well up.
Return to sender.
We'll see you guys tomorrow on the regular show.
All right.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.